Amen. Please get your Bibles and turn with me tonight to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, as we consider this evening the second petition of the Lord's Prayer, Thy Kingdom Come. Paul writes here at the beginning of the final chapter of his second letter to the church in Thessalonica, beginning here in verse 1. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored, as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. The kingdom of God is something, and sometimes it is something of a mystery to us in modern America. We don't live in a time of kings and castles, even though we get news of the British monarchy. The whole matter of a monarchy is something very foreign. It's a foreign concept to us. But once we enter into the world of the Bible, we are immediately confronted with talk of the kingdom of God and talk of a king that God has set to reign on his holy hill. And therefore, it will serve us well, I think, to stop for a moment and ask the simple question, well, what is the kingdom of God? And I've put a definition, probably not the best, but something to get us at least thinking down these lines of what the kingdom of God is. I put that in your bulletin this evening. Let me read that, and it might be easier for you to follow along if you have one of those in front of you. The kingdom of God is His rule and reign through Jesus Christ over our lives and our circumstances. And it, that is the kingdom of God, is increased by way of our recognition of, love for, and joy in His rightful reign over us. And we do that by our faith in and submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, that is what we pray for in the second petition of the Lord's Prayer. I have that for you there as well in your outline tonight. Question 102 of our shorter catechism. What do we pray for in the second petition? In the second petition, which is Thy Kingdom Come, we pray that Satan's kingdom may be destroyed and that the kingdom of grace may be advanced, ourselves and others brought into it and kept in it, and that the kingdom of glory may be hastened. In the passage before us this evening, Paul is seeking prayer for exactly that. Paul asks that prayer might be offered up for them as ministers of the word, so that the word of the Lord would speed ahead. Literally, it means to run about, and that it would be honored. In other words, Paul is asking for prayer so that God's kingdom rule would be acknowledged and enjoyed by more and more people. In essence, Paul is praying for the evangelization of the known world at his time. But as we pray for the advancement of the kingdom of grace, the kingdom of God, we are always, and we always need to be aware of this, we are always simultaneously also praying for the destruction of the kingdom of Satan. That is to say, the kingdom of grace, or God's rule and reign, increases as the kingdom of Satan is destroyed. The kingdom of grace increases proportional to the kingdom of Satan being destroyed. And so Paul asks for prayer that the word of God would go forth and be honored more broadly. But notice he also calls for prayer against and deliverance from evil and wicked men. And this is because, as he notes here, not all have faith. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan are divided down the line and on the matter of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan are divided from one another down the line of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. As we pray for the advancement of the kingdom of God, we must also pray for protection from evil and wicked people because, as Paul is telling us here, not all have faith. They're going to oppose the kingdom of God. They're enemies of the cross. And there's a corresponding relationship then between these two kingdoms that is inescapable. Each advance of the kingdom of grace or the kingdom of God in this world happens with the corresponding event of Satan losing ground and his kingdom being more and more destroyed. And in this observation of the corresponding relationship between the two kingdoms, Satan's kingdom and God's kingdom, it should be increasingly clear that we are talking here not so much then about political, institutional, or structural advances, but rather we are talking primarily, it does include those things, but what we are primarily talking about when we talk about the advancement of the kingdom of God is the soul by soul advancement of Christ's rule in the individual hearts of men and women. Satan has blinded the eyes of the world and he desires to keep all of those who are under his control. He desires to keep them away from a knowledge of the truth. And until the Holy Spirit works by the Word in the heart of a man or a woman or a young girl or a young boy, that individual is a part of the kingdom of Satan. But as soon as the Spirit of God invades the life of even one person, that person becomes a part of the kingdom of grace, and the kingdom of God is advanced through their inclusion in it. And once we are in the kingdom of God, God Himself establishes us and He keeps us from the evil one so that we may never again fall away or fall out of His glorious kingdom. And so we pray. Again, I want us to see here, it's a beautiful articulation. We pray, as our catechism notes, that Satan's kingdom may be destroyed, and that the kingdom of grace may be advanced, ourselves and others brought into it and kept in it, and that the kingdom of glory may be hastened. I hope that as I've been describing some of these things and describing it as a present reality, that you'll hear in all of this the fact that we are not today waiting for God's kingdom to begin. There is a whole swath of the confessing Christian church that doesn't believe that the kingdom of God is advancing. They're still waiting for that as a future reality. something that might happen in the future. We are not waiting for God's kingdom to begin, but rather we are praying that it will come with more and more acknowledgement and power, because it is here. It has already commenced, and it is moving on towards ultimate consummation in glory. Jesus is ruling and reigning right now. The Father has exalted him to his right hand, and he has given him right now already that name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee would bow and every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The Father told the Son in the great covenant of redemption between the Godhead, the Trinity, the Father told the Son to ask of me. Ask of me, and I will give to you the nations as your inheritance. And so we are not praying that Christ's kingdom would come as though it is not yet here. But we are praying that as it has started, it will further advance until the knowledge of the Lord covers the earth, as the waters cover the sea. We pray that it would so fully come that there's nothing left of Satan's kingdom, but all is transformed, and we are all in the kingdom of glory. And this has bearing then on our lives this evening. We don't look for a kingdom ultimately in the future, but we enjoy participation in the kingdom of God right now. And if we are in His kingdom, and again, we need to remember what is the kingdom. The kingdom of God is His rule and reign through Jesus Christ over our lives and our circumstances, and it is increased by our recognition of it, our love for it, our joy in His rightful rule and reign over us. The challenge, I think, for us tonight is do we live like those who are under the glorious reign of Jesus Christ? Too often when we talk about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of Christ, it becomes this very cosmic, universal, big thing, and we tend to exempt ourselves out of it as a very personal reality that is to affect the way that we live every moment of our day. Jesus Christ is Lord of your life now. And the question would come very searchingly to us tonight. Can people tell when they look at our lives that we ultimately are submitted to King Jesus? Is there evidence that we're part of His kingdom? So when we pray in the second petition, like when we prayed in the first petition, hallowed be thy name, that prayer ultimately is a prayer that my life would honor him. When we pray thy kingdom come, we are ultimately praying, may your rule and reign in my heart and your lordship, your glorious, gracious lordship over my life be evident to those around me. May I be a witness to the glory of your kingdom. That's what we're praying for in the second petition. And so we pray and we work with what means God has given us according to our places and our stations. We work for this reality to be more and more realized in this world. We pray and we evangelize. We pray and we go out in whatever walk of life God has placed us in, and we go out with the mindset we are part of His kingdom, we go out to deliberately subvert the kingdom of Satan. That is our life. That's what's involved in being part of the glorious kingdom of God. We go out and we seek to subvert the kingdom of Satan by spreading the knowledge of the kingdom of our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. We should be those who in our lives manifest more and more an enjoyment of His gracious rule over us as our King and our Shepherd. It should come out very practically in our lives that we have been established in the security that He will never leave us or forsake us. That changes us as people to have that knowledge of His promise. He will never leave us or forsake us. It doesn't matter what happens to us. He will always be with us. And He will always be gracious to us. He always loves us. He will always give us the ability to stand up under the trials that we experience. And the wonderful promise that nothing, even though we struggle in this life, even though we struggle with real sin, that ultimately nothing could ever snatch us out of His hand. But you see, to pray the second petition, to pray this way, you must believe in this reality. You must believe that Christ really does reign. You must really believe that the kingdom of God has actually come in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we participate in it by faith in Him. Or else this becomes meaningless words off your mouth if you don't even believe in the reality of the kingdom. Why would you ever pray, "Thy kingdom come"? Why would you seek for its advancement if you've never experienced it yourself? And so, as Paul asks, our text is a wonderful passage and commentary on the second petition. Paul asks for us to pray that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored, as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we pray that Satan's kingdom may be destroyed and that the kingdom of grace may be advanced, ourselves and others brought into it and kept in it, and that the kingdom of glory may be hastened. Indeed, to summarize this, the ultimate prayer in all of this is we pray, "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus." Let's bow in prayer briefly as we conclude this evening. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Lord, we pray that it would hasten and come in our own lives more and more manifest, that in our thoughts and our words and our deeds, the glorious rule of the Lord Jesus Christ would be evident, that we would conduct ourselves in this world as people who are part of His kingdom, that love and rejoice in His rule and reign over us. And so, Lord, may it begin afresh with us this evening. May You take back the heart that is rightfully Yours. May You bring us to a place where we fully and with a single heart, an undivided heart, desire to live for Your glory and Your kingdom again. And Father, we pray that as You begin to revive us and cleanse us, You might be pleased to use us in the advancement of Christ's kingdom. Make us very clear and bold witnesses for the truth. Make us wise and discerning, but enable us to go out with the true ambition and the true desire to see Satan's kingdom subverted and undermined, so that Christ would get more glory and that His name would be exalted throughout the earth. Father, please do these things in us, Your people. Give us strength and perseverance to continue to walk in these ways, even when we experience trial and persecution. And we pray ultimately that the kingdom of glory would be hastened. And so we pray tonight, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus." To live is Christ, but to die is gain. We know that You have us here now, but we long to depart and be with You. We ask these things and we pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.